Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. I'm Ronald A. Edwards. This is the Don and Ron Show. We're coming to you from Minneapolis, Minnesota. And it follows the president's 15-minute speech to the nation on his decision in the Middle East. But also tonight on this program, we will be talking about Ferguson, Missouri. Oh, we as black Americans do not lose sight of those things that are also important to us on the domestic scene. But first of all, we want to analyze, as is being done by all prognosticators as we speak, as we are here in studio watching the monitors and et cetera, and we're watching Fox News and CNN and MSNBC and all the others, with all of their experts and pundits analyzing and evaluating President Barack Obama's address to the nation. Again, a speech that took just a tad under 15 minutes. The purpose of the speech is quite clear. Those who understand the importance of a war economy know that the United States needs to, quote-unquote, once again, be engaged in military conflict in the far reaches of the world. Of course, in this case, it is a part of the world where the United States has been militarily, politically, and economically engaged for 13 years on a continued basis in Iraq, in Afghanistan, if you will. And then, of course, supporting those that are involved in trying to maintain a semblance and a degree of order consistent with the United States feels has to happen, first of all, to protect the interests of the United States, to protect the interests of Europe, if you will, and then, as an afterthought, protect the interests of those Arab and Muslim nations in that part of the world. Of course, not far from there is another conflict which the Obama administration and the European Union are holding their breath. It is called the Ukraine. And a president there by the name of Putin who has shown that he does not hold much respect for the strategies of the West, as they are referred to. And that means the European Union and the United States, if you will. You must continue to keep an eye on President Putin for no other reason than what is being attempted as it pertains to ISIS, ISIL, or whatever name is given to them by, quote-unquote, intelligence and military experts. What did the president say tonight in what certainly can be read and considered to be a pep talk, if you will, is he laid out 4 points that he talks in terms, reflects the, quote-unquote, mission, if you will, and more importantly, in even his own mind, the legacy of the Obama doctrine. You see, that word hasn't been used much of late, but this is really what happened tonight. This was the Obama doctrine, if you will, of what he expects, how he is thinking, how he is crafting the remaining 2.25 years of his presidency, if you will. How will history view him? How will history judge him? How will history measure him? How will history both praise him, criticize him? How will history determine if he was a success or a failure? Only time will tell. But for the moment, the president is faced with a situation in which over the last couple of months, after this group, which has been known to all, quote-unquote, intelligence and military experts for a number of years, as was pointed out by the president and some of the pundits that are speaking now as we speak to our audience, that this ISIL group was originally Al-Qaeda in Iraq. They have now become Al-Qaeda, if you will, in Syria and Iraq and et cetera. It is the swiftness in which they routed, quote-unquote, a very reluctant Iraqi army, if you will, just over the last 2 months that has brought some semblance of fear, but probably more importantly has brought a symbol of embarrassment because the Iraqi army and billions of American tax dollars, that's the tax dollars of the U's and I's of America, went to train this Iraqi military force, if you will, to prepare it to defend the sovereignty of Iraq, if you will, to provide it with the necessary wherewithal, materials, and et cetera, to make it a staunch defender of the sovereignty of Iraq. Well, they did a miserable job. In less than, in some cases, a week, ISIL, whoever they were, whichever part of the Middle East they were coming out of, be it Syria or Iraq, had taken almost half of the country. And if it had not been for the tenaciousness of the Kurds and their fighting abilities, if you will, and probably some clandestine military operations on the to the rear of ISIS from the Turks, who also, of course, are a member of NATO, protecting NATO's southern flank. The ISIS group may have very well taken almost three-fourths of Iraq and probably would possibly be banging at the doors of Baghdad. Now, the confusion that has emerged with this cloud, if you will, this suspicion that this group is not as potent as we are being led to believe, but we are going to accept that belief, even though we have questions in our own minds as a nation, that this is not a military machine that is the third or fourth largest army and certainly one of the best equipped armies in the world. You know, the equipment that they're using is American equipment bought for the Iraqis, in which the Iraqis abandoned in significant numbers and et cetera. But now it seems that Americans, particularly in light of the beheading of two Americans, now no one was as concerned about what ISIS was doing in Syria, where they had been engaged for the last 2.5, almost 3 years with the forces of President Assad, the president and strongman of Syria, if you will. ISIS was carrying out the same kind of devious acts, murderous acts, killing men, women, children, babies, and et cetera. And it was just a year ago tonight, as was pointed out, that President Barack Obama announced again to the nation in kind of a pep talk, but a talk of explanation, that the United States would not be, quote-unquote, conducting bombing strikes inside of Syria in order to encourage the Syrians, quote-unquote, to relinquish their chemical and biological weapons. Of course, that later happened through diplomatic activities, diplomatic discussions, if you will, and, of course, oops, the United States and Europe and, quote-unquote, the so-called moderate leaders of the Middle East needed a country called Russia to encourage Assad to do the right thing, negotiated for him, and also indicated to the West and to Arab moderates in the Middle East that Russia supported Assad to the extent that not only would the Russians continue to arm him, but the Russians may very well be prepared to place Russian military boots inside of Syria. This was all what was happening just a year ago, if you will, when the president had to take a more conciliatory approach, if you will, with regards to dealing with the issue of weapons of quote-unquote mass destruction, i.e., as we said just seconds ago, chemical and biological. As we said, basically 90% of those weapons, if you will, have been extricated from Syria. That has been, its potency has been, quote-unquote, reduced, eliminated, and et cetera. And at least for a time until ISIS's military victories in Iraq, the assumption was that this had been a successful completion, if you will, an achievement of the Obama doctrine. You see, it is difficult for many on the right here in the United States and in Europe to identify that President Barack Obama has a doctrine, if you will, because it is not something that is easily, quote-unquote, referred to and identified with the intellectual abilities of a person of color. People need to go back and read some of their history of the colonial times and that period when Europe and the United States, who has also been a colonial master, if you will, as to people in the Philippines, Guam, Cuba, and other places about the quote-unquote colonial mentality of the United States during the particular period of American emergence, if you will, as a world power. We tend to forget the role of this country in exploitation, if you will, and the use of its, at that time, and as now, the overwhelming military presence. I mean, who can forget Teddy Roosevelt's great white fleet sailing around the world with the American battleships, making calls and stops in ports of call, if you will, in undeveloped nations, quote-unquote, who did not have the military wherewithal of the United States, as an example, and reminding folks that the Great White Fleet, in fact, painting the ships white really sent a message that though Britain's power had declined, France's power had declined, there was still a white Christian nation that was present on the scene, that was prepared to deal with and could deal with what needed to happen and how it needed to happen. And so all of these things came into play tonight as we listened to the President of the United States prepare us for another round of conflict. The President says that there will not be American boots on the ground and et cetera, and people would like to take that to mean that American lives will not be lost. In fact, probably since this conflict started, or the new quote-unquote commitment to prop up the Iraqi regime, if you will, first of all, pushing Maliki out as the supreme leader in Iraq, which was probably a good idea given the way that he had alienated a major group within his own country, and that was the Sunnis, and the continued 2,000-year war between Sunnis and Shiites, if you will. But the United States did what it thought was the right thing to do, and the President just said tonight as a part of his 4 points that the Iraqi government has stabilized itself. Secretary of State Kerry made a quick trip into Iraq today and actually yesterday. He went into Baghdad, shook hands with the Iraqi politicians, a significant mix, if you will, Shiite, Sunni, Kurds, if you will, and hopefully there will be an established government that will give comfort to the nations and those committed and willing, if you will, once again, for the second, third time in a decade, to take up arms. Now, it will be interesting to see how many of these nations that John Kerry has already talked to and Secretary Kerry and will be talking to during the course of his, what we used to call, continuous diplomacy, if you will, John Foster Dulles, by the way, first brought into play, getting on the airplane, flying all over the world, being in two or three different places within 10 or 11 hours, if you will, meeting with leaders, getting agreements, and et cetera. The president, who, by the way, in 2 weeks, as he pointed out, will chair meeting of the Security Council, and he will hopefully have the support, and particularly he will need the support of both China and Russia, who have veto power and who may decide that they don't like what they're hearing, that they don't agree with the Obama doctrine, if you will, and we will find out that we do not have a coalition of the willing, if you will. It is clear and concise that in order also to bring the Congress of the United States into line and give him the necessary additional, notice we said additional, constitutional authority and power, quote-unquote, to make war, to protect and defend some semblance of democracy in a faraway place in the Middle East, and at the same time soothe the fear that really has been created in America with the beheading of two journalists. As we said earlier, though, in this reflection, that when, quote-unquote, Muslims, brown-skinned people's heads were being cut off, babies were being murdered, women were being raped and murdered, and men were being lined up and shot down, though they were, quote-unquote, prisoners of war, we, quote-unquote, in America had other things to be concerned about, if you will. And so the president has delivered his 4 points. He has indicated that there will be a coalition of the willing, if you will, that Saudi Arabia, who makes sure that they stay out of most fights, if you will, that Egypt, who stays out of most fights, if you will, that the Arab, quote-unquote, other nations along the Persian Gulf, the Emirates, as they are called, and et cetera, will provide, we're not quite sure what, because none of them have the military capabilities, with the exception of, do not have the military capabilities of putting 25 or 30,000 individuals from each country on the ground. Now, the estimate, by the way, and the president, of course, stays away from the numbers, is that there are as many now, as many as 15,000 ISIS fighters, and with others flocking to their banner. Now, on an additional note, before we move to the domestic scene, we here in the Twin Cities, and for those in our domestic and international audience, yes, be advised, we are, in fact, the epic center of the fear about, oops, the recruitment, if you will, of young Americans to become terrorists, quote-unquote, and we are the epic center of suspicion that there are ISIS sales here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul. We call attention to the front page of the Minneapolis Star Tribune this past Sunday, Sunday's edition of the paper, and the grand jury investigation that is going on with recruitment within the Somali community of young men and women who are being and have been recruited, and some have certainly died, in fighting, quote-unquote, with, quote-unquote, the forces of al-Shabaab, if you will, al-Qaeda in Yemen, al-Qaeda in Iraq, al-Qaeda in Syria, al-Qaeda in wherever else al-Qaeda may in fact be. No one likes to talk about al-Qaeda in America. And so it is interesting that some of us have watched very closely the, quote-unquote, investigative activities, let me put it like that, that are currently going on here in the Twin Cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, including federal grand juries that are meeting, trying to determine who it is that are recruiting, though this recruitment has been going on for 7 to 8 years, which makes you wonder if you're having that much trouble in a little country town like Minneapolis and St. Paul, what are you going to do on a more global aspect as it pertains to intelligence gathering to determine how much, quote-unquote, activity, movement, and et cetera is taking place. By the way, on that particular note, as we approach the anniversary of September 11th, we notice and take note, this is for our friends on the international scene who understand what we are saying, the lack of discussion about those commercial aircraft that were parked at the Tripoli Libyan airport about a week ago that have been commandeered, and some apparently being relocated from Tripoli, if you will, disappearing from the airport. And there is some concern and suspicion that they will possibly be used in a quote-unquote terrorist air attack, symbolic of what happened on 9/11 when commercial aircraft were used to, quote-unquote, take down the Twin Towers, attack the Pentagon, as well as crashing in a field in Pennsylvania. We feel compelled here in the Twin Cities to at least share that with our own domestic communities who do not have a clue with regards to the kind of surveillance, intelligence surveillance, and et cetera, that is taking place, and the large number, quote-unquote, of federal agents and local police who have been brought in, quote-unquote, to try to determine how many young American-born individuals, primarily American blacks, who, quote-unquote, have been recruited and, as has clearly been identified just 2 weeks ago, have gone overseas to fight with, quote-unquote, so-called, quote-unquote, terrorist groups. But again, for those of you that are listening tonight, be advised that the Twin Cities is the epic center as it pertains to the possibility of terrorist activity in the United States, though that activity would not necessarily have to be limited to the Twin Cities. It could be in Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Washington, Columbus, Ohio, Detroit, Michigan, St. Louis, Missouri, Atlanta, Georgia, Dallas, Texas, San Antonio, if you will. It could happen any place, particularly with the number of individuals who have the necessary travel documents, passports, et cetera, to be able to go from point A to point B without the kind of, quote-unquote, scrutiny that is so important, other than the color of their skin. The only problem is that there has been a very intense recruitment of, quote-unquote, Caucasian-born Americans who would operate also as possible terrorists, quote-unquote, activists, if you will. Terrible word to use, but if you listen closely to what is being said by these young folks, and there are older folks out there who feel strongly, quote-unquote, that they are doing the right thing because America is a corrupt nation, not telling the truth, and, quote-unquote, being very unfair to another segment, quote-unquote, of the American population. Now, that then takes us from the president's speech. The experts and pundits will make all kinds of judgments, even during the remainder of tonight and et cetera, and they will make the necessary assessments. But the key is that we continue to be a war nation. We continue to be a nation that depends far too much upon war as an incentive for economic success, though that economic success basically denies or ignores a significant segment of the American population the opportunity to enjoy the fruits of the prosperity of the gods of war, if you will. We used to call it in the old days the industrial military complex, if you will. The system has attempted to get us away from using that terminology. Well, we do not want, as we said at the top of this program and over the next 36 minutes, we don't want to forget, as black Americans, Ferguson, Missouri. And there have been new developments in Ferguson, if you will. In fact, we were in consultation with, quote-unquote, operative sources that we have been utilizing, if you will. And in fact, we are receiving a call right now from out of the St. Louis area, and there are some questions they will be posing. This is on a secure and private line, and so we will be speaking with them. There will be parts of the conversation we will let you share or share with you. There are other parts of it that we have decided that we will not do that. First of all, let me welcome our caller. Caller, how are you doing? Good. Thank you, Missouri, for taking the time to update us via the airwaves, if you will. We are aware, after consultation this afternoon, that there have been additional developments. Let me just ask you a series of questions because of the peculiarity of how we are bringing you into play. We understand that another African-American female witness has come forward and basically confirmed everything that has been testified to by previous witnesses. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. That's correct. Yeah.
right ahead. Missouri, let us ask you about a set of witnesses, a pair of witnesses. In fact, CNN intentionally misreported the actual number of two witnesses who came forward. We've had conversations over the last couple of days as your people have done forensic examination slash research and et cetera, including the interview with the St. Louis Dispatch newspaper there in St. Louis, which is, of course, a well-known paper. We understand that these two individuals are not from the Ferguson area or even from St. Louis County. They were working on a construction site. In fact, one of them had at least a 10-minute conversation with the deceased, Mr. Michael Brown, for maybe about 10 minutes. They were talking some things about religion and et cetera, again, according to copyrighted stories as well as information gathered by your people there in Missouri. Can you tell us a little bit about the background of these individuals? And I understand they are from a county called Jefferson County. Could you just indicate to our listening audience where Jefferson County is located, what the racial mix is, and what is it is your feeling, which I concur with, the race of the two individuals? Let me just ask a quick question, sir. Hillsborough, which is the county seat of Jefferson County, which is the county south of St. Louis County, what is the estimated distance between Hillsborough, where these two Caucasian workers live within, if you will, to Ferguson, Missouri? Now, did the two individuals who are, of course, have been identified, by the way, we now find out about 3 weeks ago they were actually identified to the county attorney, but also to FBI agents and et cetera. Can we confirm if any, well, we know statements have been taken by the St. Louis newspapers and the FBI. Do we know if they've been called to testify before the St. Louis County grand jury? Now, go right ahead. I'm sorry. Go right ahead. Could you share that with us, sir? Could you share that with us, please? The entire scenario as you desire to present it.
They indicated that basically they saw Michael Brown running away from the police surround, just putting his hands up and continued to say, okay, 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 which would indicate they just said anybody that he was surrendering at that point. But that's basically when Officer Wilson continued to shoot. But I think it was interesting that they were close enough to actually hear what was going on also.
And because they, one of the two individuals who we are believing to be Caucasians, if you will, based on examinations by your people there in St. Louis, they were familiar enough to at least recognize his voice to some degree. In other words, it was not a voice that was foreign to them. And so when the statement was made that Mr. Brown was saying, okay, 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 as he was being shot to death, it denotes a familiarity with who it was voice they were hearing, though they were looking directly at the confrontation. Is that a proper analysis?
Yeah.
What, sir, again, we appreciate our associates out of Missouri and both out of St. Louis and Kansas City who have been working together on this. What is the latest update with respect to the the county attorney and the grand jury? And then we want to go into a little discussion about the demise of the Jennings, Missouri Police Department in which Officer Wilson first was employed by. Go ahead, sir. Give us, because in this part of the country, we do not have, I mean, you know, on the surface, as a journalist, I do, but tell us a little bit about what has emerged about the Jennings, Missouri Police Department, in which Officer Wilson was a patrol officer for 2 years, and Chief Tom Jackson of the Ferguson Police Department indicated that he was an individual of tremendous integrity and et cetera. What is the history of Jennings' police department and what happened to it? No, go right ahead, sir. Complete it. Missouri. Go right ahead. So the seven-member city council in Jennings not only terminated the entire police department, but decided they just didn't want to take a chance on hiring another 35 or 40 white men and women to police a 90% black community, and decided they'd let the St. Louis County police force, which I understand has, I don't know about what, 9% African Americans. We're not talking about the St. Louis City Police Department. We're talking about St. Louis County. And so the city of Jennings rid itself of its police department. Is that correct?
Yeah. Okay. police officer was chasing a young black woman who had a child in the car with her. And that police officer, who was seen on a dash cam of another police officer's car, was firing, going down I-70, shooting at her going down the highway with a child, with her having a child in the car.
On the issue of Highway 70, and I know there hasn't been much information, again, up in this part of the world, I understand demonstrators laid across the highway, though they were dispersed. Could you just, because I know this ties in, talking with other sources in the St. Louis area, could you walk us through, as a conclusion and a wrap-up, could you walk us through the meeting with the city council last night in Ferguson, Missouri, and some of the statements that were made by a 95% audience, if you will, of African Americans? Let me ask one final question, and certainly appreciate the depth by your organization and your people there in St. Louis. We found out that there is one African American on the city council, a Mr. James, as I understand it. I guess he's a young African American, maybe in his early 40s, been there maybe a couple of years. Were there any statements made by him last night at this hearing in which over 600 to 700 black citizens turned out? Missouri, we want to thank you for taking the time once again with your operation and people there in Missouri, both in St. Louis and Kansas City. Also, I understand we received some information out of St. Joe's, some of it having to do with the history. And because she is deceased, we will not do as white folks do. But the mother of Darren Wilson, who was a convicted felon, that whole history and story and how she was able to sidestep her punishment for felony crimes, if you will. But she died just before his 16th birthday, so we will be more magnanimous, if you will. Want to thank you, Missouri, for taking the time. We will probably be back in touch with you. Well, we, in fact, will be back in touch with you over the next number of weeks, and we will be asking you to stand by on the occasion that the grand jury, St. Louis County Grand Jury, comes back with a verdict in the matter of the death of 18-year-old Michael Brown. I want to thank you again, Missouri. Appreciate it. Thank you. A professional civil rights activist and et cetera, we've been asked over the last couple of weeks who the caller is, why doesn't the caller identify himself. We indicated the caller, we do not want the caller to do that. The caller is in a very sensitive and high placed position in St. Louis County and had agreed to provide information to this blog radio program as we would continue to monitor what is happening there, if you will. Going back over a couple of reflections that were made by the caller out of Missouri, we now have what appears definitely to be two Caucasians, and we want to spend some time as we go into basically the last 15 minutes of tonight's program here on the Don and Ron program. As I said, my co-host Don Allen is involved in other matters and is not with us this evening. We think it is important that the media, and in talking to our associates and contacts in Missouri, we've all found it interesting that though the St. Louis Dispatch has met with and seen the two construction workers who also confirm what even the latest witness, an African-American female, provided in the last couple of days to the FBI and et cetera. And, you know, some of this information is being leaked from the feds. A lot of it was being leaked from St. Louis County, but things have become rather interesting with regards to leakage from St. Louis County Attorney's Office, if you will, the St. Louis County Police. As since the revelations by two individuals, as we pointed out, these individuals are from a county called Jefferson County. For those that are going to want to get their GPSs out, Jefferson County is south of St. Louis County. The two construction workers were approximately 65 to 70 miles away. They reside in the area of Hillsboro, which is the county seat of Jefferson County there in Missouri. They were brought in, their company was brought in to do Pacific construction work, if you will, which also, by the way, raised the question of the inability of African Americans in Ferguson, as an example, to find gainful employment. Think about that, my friends, that you had workers brought in from a city or town, Hillsboro, again, county seat of Jefferson County, to do work 60, 70, 75 miles up the road, if you will, and a job that pays excellent money, if you will, going rate construction workers in the Pacific discipline of the two construction workers, probably $28, $29, $30 an hour, if you will. But it is the mystery about why they have not been identified, and it has not been explained that they are two Caucasians. And so for the first time, we have a situation in which it is more difficult for the white fourth estate, the white media, to raise questions about the veracity, if you will, the integrity, the accurateness, the intelligence, and et cetera, of the black witnesses, because these are two of their own, if you understand what we are saying. And what we have been talking in terms of in our meetings with our associates and et cetera, not only in Missouri but around the country, because there are tensions in many, many different places. That now takes us quickly back to President Barack Obama. We certainly understand what it is that he must do. As we said earlier, understanding the importance of his legacy, if you will, of his image, of his presidency. Probably more importantly of anything, his presidency, we understand that it is incumbent upon him to talk in terms of how well America is doing and et cetera. But we in black America know that there's a 90 percentile factor black Americans, quote unquote, that aren't doing as well as the president said to us. But we understand that he has to get us on a war footing, if you will. Of course, this country has been on a war footing for over 13 years, fighting at least on two fronts, if you will, now facing an enemy that people have made an attempt to make us believe is one of the most powerful military machines on the face of the planet. Last time I looked, the scariest military machines were Russia and China and the United States, if you will. But again, we understand the need, as we said earlier, to push the envelope as it pertains to a war economy, if you will. Importance of getting the economy back in shape, if you will. Consequently, our reflection and statement about we cannot concur with the President of the United States in his speech tonight. We know that Americans are resilient. God knows that the sons and daughters of the African have damn well been resilient in order to, quote-unquote, hang on, if you will, oftentimes by our fingertips for over 400 years. And we certainly know how resilient one must be as we continue to see a downturn in the quality of life and expectations of young African Americans, that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. So we understand resilience, if you will. We understand the importance of propaganda. We hate to use that word in the context of our president, the first African-American president in the history of the United States, and possibly the last one for the next 35 or 40 years, if you will, if the system and the society has its way. But again, we understand that, and it's sometimes we should understand that faith causes things to happen. And maybe to some degree, though, a life was lost. Michael Brown, an 18-year-old African-American's life was lost. Maybe it was a dictate, if you will, a signal that is provided by the Supreme, if you will, by the person that really makes the decision, you know, and how things will go and how well it is that, quote-unquote, we will pretend that everything is okay. Maybe Ferguson was a signal, if you will, from on high that black America is not being treated right. Black America is not being respected. Black America is being played for a fool. Black America is being told things that are absolutely untrue and inconsistent with the facts. And so maybe there is a divine purpose and reason that things happen. In fact, we know that it is because we have friends and et cetera who are very much, quote unquote, into religion and into the church and et cetera. And there are times when divine intervention, divine decisions and et cetera take place to keep us grounded, if you will, to make us understand and to make sure that we do not forget the resolve, the sense of resolve, the passion, the compassion, if you will, the strength and et cetera of the sons and daughters of the African and what it is that we have gone through in this nation in order to survive. And so please, folks, don't tell us that things are at a level of absolute prosperity for all Americans. It is not. In fact, in this city, in this twin cities of Minneapolis and St. Paul, as we said to you earlier, and we were not stretching the facts. We are at the epic center of discomfort, discontent, if you will, mistrust, anger, if you will. I hate to use the word hatred of African Americans and particularly young African Americans in these enclaves of the Twin Cities and other small centers of population here in the state of Minnesota, if you will, be it Mankato or Rochester or Duluth or Moorhead, if you will, or Marshall, Minnesota, Albert Lea, you know, Winona, and et cetera, that there is a sense of frustration and uncomfort or discomfort, if you will. And so the authorities that are now here, grand juries that is sitting and attempting to figure out who it is they're going to indict, if you will, to quote-unquote, to give us another quote-unquote platform or stage of quote-unquote entertainment. They cannot provide for us an answer to the existence of racism, but they work hard and try hard to give us, quote-unquote, a reflection, a series of reflections that say that we are bad people and they know how to come get us. But when it comes time to correcting the ills of this society, which causes, quote-unquote, the backlash, and we saw it today in St. Louis, Missouri. We did not get into it specifically with our caller. We had other specific questions when young black people, and what clearly was a measured effort, let me repeat that again for the authorities, a measured effort to test, quote-unquote, their ability to create the necessary mayhem that was expressed by over 600 African-Americans in a town hall meeting with the so-called Ferguson City Council last night in that, quote-unquote, American city. Over 600 African-Americans, my friends, came out for that meeting. They raised a lot of questions and made a lot of statements. One of the statements they made was, as the caller out of Missouri repeated, and it has been recorded and et cetera, that if Officer Wilson is not indicted and does not stand trial, then Governor Nixon of Missouri will be well advised to just prepare the National Guard to bunker down, not only in Ferguson, but probably in many other enclaves in and around St. Louis. And that is sad, if you will, when tonight we just heard a president who is attempting to rally the troops. That's us, you know, not only the military, but we, the citizens, to rally us, to get us pumped up and fired up for another, quote-unquote, military action, another military incursion. And by the way, in closing, let us hope that we do not have a repeat of what happened when the United States was involved in the battle in the 1990s with Serbia. People tend to probably even forget that. When, after, what was it? My God, 90 days of continuous bombing, the Serbs caved in, if you will. And some of them were tried for their war crimes. But one of the things that happened was that the Chinese embassy in Belgrade, the capital of Serbia, was, quote-unquote, allegedly accidentally bombed. This came at a time when there had been some incidents in the South China Sea between American and Chinese air and naval forces. The Chinese were not fooled by what happened. They knew that it was intentional. There was a, quote-unquote, significant damage to the Chinese embassy, life, the loss of a small number of lives. Diplomacy came into play, and the two sides, I guess, worked it out, if you will. But I say this to remind, quote-unquote, the planners and prognosticators that there is a very large Russian naval base on the west coast of Syria, if you will, on the Mediterranean. And I well remember some of the discussions last year about the fact that there would be a miscalculation and a American airstrike would hit the Russian naval base. Oh, yeah, for those of you that say you follow these things, it's there. Very large base, very well, quote-unquote, garrisoned, if you will. And some have reason to believe that over the last number of years, the Soviets, or in this case the Russians, as they're now called, have brought in military capabilities that would allow them, quote-unquote, to respond if there is an attack upon their naval base there in northwestern Syria, that they have provided their military garrison there with tactical nuclear weapons. Keep that in mind for all those that are talking terms that the president is getting ready to unleash American air power in, quote-unquote, Syria. There's also a danger when you start talking in terms of involving yourselves and conducting war and mayhem within the sovereign territory of another nation, because the United States is not the only person on the block who could become a bully. that has the capability to do that. You know, the Chinese may decide to do that in the South China Sea and in the area around the areas and the islands being contested with the Japanese. The North Koreans may decide that they may want to do some things to the South Koreans, if you will. Russia may decide, and they've already indicated, the Russians, if you will, that if there are additional sanctions, that no American aircraft or any other Western aircraft will be allowed to fly over Mother Russia. Take a look at your map. If you want to talk about costing commercial airlines a lot of money, American airlines, Western airlines, see what happens if the Russians decide to stop overflights, if you will. Well, we appreciate the opportunity to be with you this evening. We will be back next week. Our co-host, Don Allen, hopefully will be back with us. Thank you for tuning in, and we hope that the information has been of some significant purpose. On behalf of Don Allen and myself, good evening.